Now, first of all, let me thank you as a congregation. Let me thank your minister, the Reverend William Moody, your session, your committee, and also the congregation here. And I know for many, many years you've supported the work of the Belfast City Mission. And let me just say, on behalf of our board and on behalf of Willie, who's the new monitor, the new boss now, the Belfast City Mission, Willie Logan, and all missionaries in their family circles, and all the people who go to those halls, thank you very much indeed for your support down through the years and your continuing support. Out in the vestibule is this wee book. This is our latest one, 1920, Belfast City Mission Annual Report. Please feel to lift one of these on the way out. I just happen to be today, I'm actually the longest serving Belfast City missionary at the moment. All the rest of the lads have retired. There's three of us sitting at the minute. We're all still working, although we're, as a man says, we're pensioners. At the end of the day, I'm into my 35th year working in the work of Belfast City Mission. And let me say to any young man here today, if you feel the Lord's calling you for a work, think about the work of Belfast City Mission. I come into this work in 1986. I come into this work with my good wife, Cassie, and five children, three boys and two girls. And they're all grown up, and they're all married. And we have 11 grandchildren in these days, so we have plenty to keep us going. But I do thank the Lord for the wife he gave to me and Cassie. Cassie has been absolutely tremendous, like my right arm every day. She's always doing something and thinking about something and preparing something. Isn't it true over the last year, things have greatly changed? There we were going along and we're all able to go to our church and no worries or cares. But then came the sickness. Sunday schools were to stop. Evening meetings were to stop. Prayer meetings were to stop. Ladies' meetings, everything pertaining to the work would come to a standstill. But the time came was this. We had to think out of the box. And one Saturday morning, outside my front door, there was another missionary. And I rubbed the door, and he went out and he stood in the driveway, distancing. He says, how's you and Cassie keeping? I said, we're doing well, Alan. He said, I'm just away from the hall, he says. We're now getting our sermons out over the airwaves. What's up? YouTube, Facebook. When I come in, I said to my wife, Cassie, Alan's out there. This is what Alan has been doing. Can we look into this? And I'm going to tell you something. We soon started using the technology that was at our disposal. On our phones is the WhatsApp, which was good, able to send sermons to that. Also able to send to one of the ladies in the hall prayer requests. One of our ladies will take the prayer request and she'll also share it with other prayer groups and they'll also be praying. Everything was happening now over the airwaves. And the wonderful thing was this. You were keeping your people together. Spending time on phones, phoning them up, how are you keeping? Having a chat with them, making sure their welfare. Are they doing all right? Are they all right for shopping? Do they need anything? Facebook has also been a good thing for us. Christmas time. We find that Christmas time there on the end of November, we like to bring the boys and the girls and the mums and dads. Everybody comes. Up to about 400 will come to the mission hall for a tree lighting night. But as you know, all this was stopped. So my wife and I, the tree was still decorated out in the car park. My wife and I, we came up. and we did something for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And this went out on the airwaves. Over 6,000 people tuned in just to watch for those 10 minutes, about the Christmas tree light and the wee thought behind it. And those boys and girls, though they were not able to be at this, I was able to go into the local school, which I've had a relationship with over all my days in Glencairn. And I would go in and take assembly meetings. And I went and seen the headmistress to let her know what we would like to do. So we made sure the boys and girls, they couldn't come to us, so we went to them to the school. And we were able to give out 280 packages to every boy and girl. And in each of them, there's a calendar, there's a Christmas booklet. Outreach was still happening. And the children thoroughly enjoyed that. The school themselves thought, now that was a lovely wee thought. We were going to do this the same again come Easter time. Into the schools again, but on this occasion, we were able to give them other goodies as well. We were going around Glencairn even, giving out these lovely bags of books with different things and quizzes in them, maths in them, something to encourage them. And again, that wee track, the Easter track. We found out here as well, now that went down well. But things weren't going to stop there. Here we were last Christmas, instead of having, did we have toys in? No, we had groceries in. And if you listen to our news today, you listen to the hardships many are having. And I thank the Lord that we really were inundated. Glencairn Hall's the hall they use, and we were really inundated. And we were to give out easy, between 180 to 200 bags with goodies in them, food for many houses in the area. They went down well. But then other things came in our direction. We were able to get a grant from the government, £1,000, which allowed us to do something very special for senior citizens. Tea on the doorstep. Each of the wee boxes we left at these doors served two people. So you double 120. You've already covered there 240 people. There's a man walking down the street with a dog. And I'd left something in his house. And the reason I left something in his house, those parcels, afternoon tea on the doorstep, his wife's a nurse. Both are retired now. I sees him walking down the street, and I says to him, how are you doing? And he says, how am I doing? He says, we did tell you something. He says, I was out walking my dog, and I'm saying to myself, do you know what I would love? I would like a big muffin with a big cherry in it. And he says, see him under the house. His wife said to him, oh, by the way, we've been given afternoon tea. When he opened the box, what was in it? A big scone with a cherry in it. I'm in that wee home, sharing God's word with those people. Many doors being open. Yes, we were doing many different wee jobs here and there. But you know, there's one job there that I've been doing it for year after year after year. And what's that? One happens to be funerals. Last year, I took 25 funerals. And I'm not a man, somebody rings me up, can you help us? Those 25 different funerals were made up of a lot of people. And you and I know in these days worldwide, there's much heartbreak and sorrow. And you and I need to do our best all the time, where we know there's heartbreak and sorrow, try and encourage those wee families. And that's exactly what we try to do. In my district, the mother went missing in this particular home. And the children were looking for her, couldn't find her. Now, the wee mother had passed away and was down the side of the bed. And I knew this lady for years. And I would always say she was a lady, she was a wee goer. She had a face to lion. She loved her family. But she was going to be a young lady. And if this wasn't enough, her wee daughter would pass away 3 months later because of drugs. And I'm standing in your pulpit here today, and I have buried no less than 10 young people who have grew up in the mission hall, and many ended up passing away because of drugs. Let me say to any young people here, stay away from them. Don't let anyone try and suck you in and say, look, they're all right. They're not all right. They do leave a lot of heartbreak. So it does. I want to tell you about a lady I took her funeral off. Her mum, her sister, and herself, they're out a bit of Christmas shopping. So they had a bit of lunch, and one of the sisters had to go to the doctor's. So the other sister said, I'll take you down. And what happened? She took her down, and the girl herself wasn't great at the walking, but they took her down, and she dropped her off at the bus stop right beside the doctor's surgery. And she looks in her mirror as she's leaving, and she notices her sister still sitting in the bus shelter. But anyway, maybe 20 minutes later, there's a phone call being made to this lady's home. And she says to her husband, will you bring me down my wheelchair? My legs are really sore. When he got to the doctor's surgery, he's going in, and there's a commotion going on. Paramedics in, paramedics out. He happened to say to the girl, it wouldn't be my wife they're working with. Like exactly was his wife. The sad thing was this. The lady passed away. I'm in visiting her mom and dad. What heartbreak and what sorrow. Trying to encourage them, trying to comfort them. The poor father was going to end up falling down the stairs. And he ended up racking his ankle. Pray for those families. When it came, no warning came. When it just came suddenly. And you know, friends, that's just the way life is. Death does come suddenly. But I want to thank the Lord in the work we're in. I'm sitting and I'm saying to myself the other day, I'm talking to the Lord, Lord, some of these houses that I'm going to, I've been in these houses over 30 years, and still, Lord, and some of them, they're still not saved. I went into this house just a few weeks ago, and I sat down beside the senior lady, well, distancing. And she said to me, I want you to know, I give my life to the Lord. I come out of that wee home saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're still at your work. Souls are being saved. See, something happened just a year before. And this same lady asked me to go to the hospital, and would I go down and see her husband? I went down at 6:30 on a Monday night. I'm sitting beside him. We're having a wee chat. The man's getting poorly. We're having a chat. And there's one thing I never do. Never do, but I did it on this occasion. I looked at him and I said, after we had a prayer and a reading, I need to say something to you. When will the time ever be right for you to come to faith in Jesus? And here's what he said. Right now. Right now. See, to hear those words? Right now. Openly, willingly, he prays the sinner's prayer. There's no greater thing in this world than seeing boys, girls, mums or dads putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So over the year, things have changed. Slowly but surely, we're now getting back into some sort of routine. And I do thank the Lord that even there on Good Friday, the local nursery home, which is Corky House, which belongs to the Presbyterian Church residential home, and the manager said, George, what about coming in and giving us an Easter service? And I went in, and there was about 30 of the people sitting in the common room. And it was great to hear them saying, George, good to see you again. I'm saying, I'm glad to see you. But when I look through the wee congregation in Corky, I know there's a few who aren't able to say, good to see you, George, because they passed away during the things that have happened. And it was just great to get back in there and have that service. And hopefully we'll start getting back again to the once a month with them. Our own mission hall reopened again. And it was good when it came the Sabbath day just to see the people coming back. Friends, there's no better place for us to be in than in the house of the Lord. Belfast City Mission is going a long, long time. And hopefully in a few years' time, they will celebrate around the 200 years of being a missionary society. It's people like yourselves, congregations like yourselves, have been faithful down through years of time. Belfast City Mission, still Belfast City Mission. Pray for our missionaries. There's two men, both off ill. One man had an eye removed, Tom Gamble. Pray for Tom. Another man's not well. But Tom's hoping he's going to get back soon. There's much you can say about the work of Belfast City Mission. It is an ongoing work. And you're always making new contacts and you're always meeting new people. And you know, many of the young mothers in the district for the GB and for the Boys for Christ organizations, they will come on at times on our Facebook asking Cassie different things. And it's great to hear the children in these days saying, when are we getting back? When are we getting back? Well, that will not be answered just for a wee while yet. But let's hope between now and the summer we'll be able to get them back. Please continue to pray for the work of Belfast City Mission. Every missionary, just like myself, many of them thought outside of the box. Many of them have many stories to tell of the people that helped. The people have came and rubbed the mission hall door and me sitting there, who have came to say, thank you for what you did. Thank you for the way you helped. We want to thank God. It's people like yourselves. We were able to do what we did. So you also have your part to play in. We want to thank you for that. We're nearly finished in our reading today. In the book of Ephesians, we read these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there's a word that stands out here, surely it's the word gift. Everyone loves to receive a gift. Salvation is God's gift to us through faith in Jesus Christ, for our salvation alone. It's not of works. We can't earn it. It was accomplished, for that gift was accomplished because of Jesus dying at Calvary. That wee word gift is four letters. G-I-F-T. G reminds us God's gift to mankind, to all of mankind, is salvation in Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Matthew Henry says, note, every converted sinner is a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given to them by grace to eternal happiness. The grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God, and he saves them not by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, by means of which they come to partake of the great blessing of the gospel. And both that faith and that salvation, on which has also a great influence, are the gift of God. A gift of God. You and I cannot get anyone any higher than God. And through Jesus, the gift is already purchased. And that lovely word grace tells you and I, we're getting something we don't deserve. But even that wee word has five letters. Grace simply means God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. When Jesus was on the cross, he could say clearly, it is finished. Tetelestai were the words that were to be used, which means the debt is paid in full. The gift God offers to us, it's priceless. All the jewels and the gems in this world brought together can never pay for that gift. But Jesus paid for it by the shedding of his blood. Paul could say in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And again, Matthew Henry would say, Jesus Christ, who is indeed the unspeakable gift of God unto this world, a gift we have all reason to be very thankful for. In John 1 and 29, John says about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Romans 6:23, Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. G tells us it's a gift. It's a gift that's paid for. And it's a gift that's offered to us. Every time we come to God's house. But not only the G tells us about God and the gift. When I look at the I tells me and should tell us, I must look after my soul's welfare. It's the most priceless possession mankind has, and it's his soul. And sad to say, many people are making shipwreck of their souls in the city, in the country, many in hospital, even though seriously ill. Many still make shipwreck of their souls. One man years ago, I went to see him, and he's sitting at the corner of his bed, and he's breaking his heart. He couldn't even walk the length of the corridor. He says to me, I'm waiting for open heart surgery. He broke his heart. I'm sharing God's word with him. And what does he say to me? Would you go and see one of my friends? Hasn't got long to live. Would you go and speak to him? And I'm saying to myself, here's a man should also be thinking about his own salvation. But no, not yet. The person I went to see, the next day, his wife and him both came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the man I went to see in hospital, I never hear of him coming to saving faith. You and I must realize that word I. Many a time we're often told we must look after ourselves first. How easy it is for many to point you to someone else when they themselves need to think about their soul. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, we read these words. So you, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Every one of us, we're responsible for our own souls. How responsible are we? In Proverbs 11 and 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. One of my ladies said one night after a meeting years back, she came to the meeting and I had to go and see her. And she said to me, I am glad you came. I says, why? She says, I want to be saved. I cannot get that hymn out of my head from last night's meeting. And I said, what was the hymn? Almost persuaded but lost. Many go through churches almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. The Lord doesn't want you and I to be almost persuaded. He wants you and I to be there. If we believe Jesus has died for us, and through him we can be forgiven and we can receive God's gift, Satan will tell you, leave it to tomorrow. God will say to you, you take it today, because tomorrow may never come. G's for God's gift, I have to think about it. F tells me it's for everybody. Let me say this in my work. I meet people who will say to me, God can do nothing for me. But it's obvious they haven't been reading their Bible. Remember what I said earlier. All who come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. God's word says, for all have sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. And falling short simply means we're not hitting the mark. But that gift goes out for everyone. Time's nearly gone. But the final wee letter is this, the letter T. What does T remind me of? It reminds me of time's passing. God's word says, this is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time, but tomorrow just might be too late. And it's been sad in my mission hall over the years. The many I've been speaking to all thought they had tomorrow. Let me finish by saying this. One man came up to me after I'd taken a funeral one day. And he said to me, he says, I need to say something to you. You took so-and-so's funeral the other day, but I want to tell you what happened a few days before that. The lad that I buried said to this other lad, I'm going to be with my mommy and my daddy. And this lad said, tell him why. Are you not well? Is there something wrong? Oh, no, 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 he says. I've got myself a wee plot of ground right beside them in the cemetery. And little did he realize he was going to be in that plot of ground within days. A van accident took two men, took their lives like that. You and I, every day, the Lord's calling out, there's a gift for you. There's a gift for you. That gift's still there. Don't think for 1 minute God doesn't want you. God does want you. He wants every one of us to receive his gift. And for every one of us who have received it, don't keep it to yourself. Tell others. That's the work of the city missionary. That's the work of your minister. Share God's word. Let them know there's enough salvation for all.